This is the son of PCJ.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perron.
Hello and welcome to the program. Coming up today, Radio Free Asia has accused the Cambodian government of trying to interfere in its coverage of the country. We will hear from a government spokesman. Many press freedom watchers have been paying close attention to Ukraine. Over the last number of years, many experts have been saying that freedom of the press in the country has all but eroded little by little. And now, TVI, one of the country's independent stations, has vanished from the airwaves. People are beginning to ask, what else? Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty are expecting some changes. They'll have the same budget, but with fewer employees. Why? Well, we'll hear audio from the latest meeting of the Broadcasting Board of Governors that oversees all U.S. international broadcasting. We have this and more, so stay tuned. This is Media Network Plus. I'm wondering if one day we should do the show in Morse code. First, here's Paulette with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
At the 49th General Assembly of the Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union held recently, Deutsche Welle's Director General Eric Betterman presented Deutsche Welle's new program structure and agreed to strengthening partnerships with Asian broadcasters. ABU and the Friedrich Ebert Stiftung, a nonprofit German political foundation, co-organized the event. In his speech titled Beyond Broadcasting, Public Service Broadcasters and the Digital Tomorrow, Betterman noted that radical technological changes brought about by the Internet, mobile devices, and media convergence make it essential for the media to continuously adapt itself. Paris-based satellite fleet operator Eutelsat said it has stopped carrying channels from Iran's state broadcaster following sanctions on Iran imposed by the European Union and a judgment from the French government broadcast regulator. In a statement made on October 15th, Eutelsat said it and satellite services provider Arqiva agreed to stop transmissions from Eutelsat's Hotbird satellites of channels from the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. Eutelsat said that after informing IRIB that its contract had been terminated, it ceased the transmissions on October 15th from its Hotbird transponder, which was being used for the programming. According to Eutelsat, the French Broadcast Authority, the Conseil Supérieur de l'Audiovisuel, had confirmed that the Sahar 1 channel should be permanently switched off from Eutelsat satellites. As a French company, Eutelsat is bound to comply with instructions from the French Broadcasting Authority, Eutelsat said. The 27-nation European Union earlier this year placed IRIB's chief executive on the list of sanctioned persons after finding that IRIB violated human rights in its broadcasts. BBC Worldwide, the commercial arm of the BBC, has just announced an exciting new phase of its partnership with YouTube, spearheaded by the upcoming launch of two brand new original content channels. Coming soon to YouTube will be a new nature channel showcasing a feast of new films created by the commercially funded BBC Earth Productions, based in Bristol, the home of the BBC's Natural History Unit. Another topical science channel produced in partnership with 360 Productions will launch in early 2013 with James May and his crack team of scientists. Both channels are reacting to what's being watched, shared, and talked about on YouTube. Cook Islander Jake Berg is this year's winner of Radio Australia's Pacific Break competition with his standout song My Oh My. Competition was fierce with over 100 diverse and exciting entries from across the Pacific. However, it was ultimately Jakeberg's soulful voice, catchy tune, and laid-back vibe that won the judges' unified agreement as the year's best song. Other highly rated entries included Vanatu's Benny and the Gang with their island reggae song Political System, the socially aware hip-hop track Never Give Up by Bueneman from Kiribati, and Fiji's Yordina Punja with her soulful ballad Insecurities. For these and other news stories, visit the Kim Andrew Elliott blog. You can find a link to it at the PCJ website, www.pcjmedia.com. If you'll just scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll find it there. That's it for our media news this week. I'm Paulette Macquarie.
And by the way, if you've tuned in, this is Media Network Plus coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Heard on the World Radio Network, Sirius XM in North America, Sky Digital in Europe, and on great partner stations everywhere. Radio Free Asia has accused the Cambodian government of attempting to intimidate the organization and to dictate the way it reports. Representatives from RFA were called to a meeting with the Cambodian government, who alleged unfair coverage. To find out more about this story, Liam Cochran from Radio Australia spoke with Fahim Safan, a spokesman from Cambodia's Government Council of Ministers.
I think that they're all manipulated, all misunderstood. So that I share with, U.S. Embassy and the spokesperson, Sean McIntosh. I share with the folk as a Cambodian to work for a Radio Free Asia as well as a voice of America. So the reason we called to talk, we tell them to, abide themselves with the principle of what, mission statement of Radio Free Asia as well as Voice America. We don't touch anything else as intimidating, manipulated. It's an accusation. We don't touch anything else, just watch the language, respect the local quality, the local cultures. That's all about that.
So language and respecting culture, that was the full extent of the meeting, was it?
Yeah, we're talking about, respect the Cambodian culture. In language, they could say anything that what they want, because Cambodian culture and, foreign culture completely difference. That's why we seek to remind them to respect the local cultures.
Why did you call the meeting? What was there a specific story or issue that prompted you to call this meeting?
No, specific. Because of very friendly talking, and that we invite a club. Cambodian a club of journalists. They come to attend together. A close door meeting. Let me share together. Why we call just Free Asia and Voice America, they are a state sponsor, fund to run that radio station. And then we raised the issue of a good relation and cooperation between Royal, the Kingdom of Cambodia, as well as, American, as a friendship between American and Cambodian people and race.
Did you raise issues of reporting about the national election next year?
No, nothing.
So why do you think Radio Free Asia has sent us a statement saying that the Cambodian government is trying to stop objective reporting and intimidate the organisation?
No, who said that?
Radio Free Asia's Vice President of Communications and Government Relations.
That's a bias. So in the meeting, we all recorded. I have everyone take the meeting record, a voice record, back to his office as before, because they don't have a real representative to attend. I told them in that tape that we discussed it, we could be played, but just a close-door meeting. We don't want to let anyone to hear what's going on, but everyone in the Free Asia as well as Wayanka, trying to listen what we're discussing together.
Would you be prepared to share the audio tape of that meeting to back up your side of the story?
No, I'm not going to leave it because it's a private talk. Private talk with the Free Asia, private talk with the Wayanka, they can take all the record tape back to their office and listen together. So that we not mean to intend. I told officially that the government needs a partnership with Voice America, with Radio Free Asia. we just invite not just Radio Free Asia and Voice Ambika. We're seeking to invite like Radio France International, because all the state sponsors, we don't touch anyone as a private. We don't mind that. That's a routine that I just invite, I mean, that Cambodian calls and that Cambodian Daily. Very good. Especially in my office, very funny.
Can I just clarify, was the Phnom Penh Post and the Cambodia Daily in the same meeting as the meeting you had with Radio Free Asia?
No. I mean, that we just do like a talk and share that what I mean shall be. We not intimidate anyone.
That was Faye Safan, a spokesman for the Cambodian government's Council of Ministers, speaking with Radio Australia's Liam Cochrane. Since Ukrainian independence from Russia, there has been a major transition in the country. It went from having no press freedom, as it was during Soviet times, to having press freedom. But in the last few years, this seems to be vanishing little by little. TVI, one of the country's independent TV stations, has just vanished. And with elections just around the corner, many are asking if the station was taken off the air as a way to prevent those who oppose Viktor Yanukovych and his government to have a voice. Amy Katz from the VOA has more.
Ivan Artemenko is disappointed. The Kiev student's favorite channel, TVI, has vanished from the airwaves.
I switched on my TV. There is darkness on a channel TVI. The note says the channel is not supported.
TVI has been having trouble with the government for some time. The channel was denied a license for digital transmission. Its director was charged with tax evasion, though the charges were later dropped. Finally, says General Director Mykola Niezhitsky, TVI simply started disappearing from cable TV networks.
More than 80 cable operators switched us off. One of the biggest cable operators, Triolan, switched us off. Another big cable provider, Volia, which is in fact a monopolist in Kiev, transferred us from a cheap basic package to the expensive one.
As a result, TVI's audience has shrunk to a third its former size, threatening the station's survival and also hampering Ukraine's political opposition, which uses TVI as a way to communicate with voters. TVI's management says the National Council on Television and Radio told cable operators to switch the channel off. The council denies the charge, and cable providers deny they are bending to political pressure. Some say they dropped TVI because of technical reasons, others because the channel didn't have high enough ratings. One company, Volia, says it simply optimized its channel lineup.
TVI is accessible. You can see it for yourself. Nobody has switched it off. But in which package it is available, this is our personal business decision to make.
Independent experts are skeptical about these explanations, especially during an election campaign. Natalia Ligachova is with the media watchdog group Telekritika.
The main responsibility for the situation with TVI channel lies with the Ukrainian authorities. The authorities themselves must provide a possibility for the only opposition channel in Ukraine to operate without obstacles.
A protest last month in support of TVI drew some 1,500 people, and viewers chipped in to help the station pay its fine when it lost a tax case in court. The station's editor-in-chief, Vitaly Portnikov, says Ukrainian journalism is now at the last frontier of freedom of speech.
It's important for us that Ukrainian journalists have freedom of expression so that our viewers are not constrained like during Soviet times to find out the truth only from the Voice of America or Radio Liberty. This is a shame for the independent state, for a democratic state. We are here to tell people the truth by ourselves.
Amy Katz, VOA News.
And you're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. The BBG, or Broadcasting Board of Governors, is making some changes at Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty. they'll have the same budget, but they'll have fewer staff. On October 11th, the BBG held a meeting to announce these changes. Before they announced these changes, Michael Linton, the acting presiding officer, criticized the Russian government for cracking down on freedom of expression.
During the first 100 days of his second incarnation as president of Russia, Vladimir Putin has taken steps that sharply curtail freedom of expression. He and the state Duma, the lower house of the Russian parliament, have enacted a series of laws that will raise fines on protesters, impose limits on the internet, make slander a criminal offense, and require non-governmental organizations that receive funding from abroad to register as foreign agents. Freedom House consistently rates Russia as not free in its annual surveys and has just said that online communication in Russia is partly free in a survey of the internet released in September. With this and other factors in mind, RFERL last month consulted with this board on some proposed changes. These include a shift towards internet programming that dovetails with the need to comply with what is known in Russia as the law on mass media. New amendments to that law will make it illegal for an entity that directly or indirectly has more than 48% foreign ownership to hold a broadcast license. Similar rules exist on broadcast licenses in the United States and the European Union. These amendments come into force on November 10th. What's more, unlike in the United States, where Russian self-sponsored programming, including RT television, is widely available, Russia has virtually closed its markets to our content. Over the past decade, RFERL and VOA lost virtually all their local affiliate partners in Russia due to increased harassment from local officials and national regulators over taxes, license enforcements, and other issues. A decade ago, RFERL had nearly 40% affiliate stations, including, 40 partner affiliate stations, including in all 10 of Russia's biggest markets. But after November 10, RFERL will have just one affiliate in a small town in the remote Kola Peninsula.
Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's president, Stephen Korn, then spoke about the future of the Russian service, Radio Slobodan.
For more than a year, we have been looking at all of our 28 language services to understand and identify our target audiences. Our Russian service has been part of this process. Now, work on the audience in Russia indicates that our target audience, urban, educated people from their 20s to their 40s, want more from us. For some time, we have been working on plans to revitalize Radio Sloboda. We are currently building a state-of-the-art video and digital facility in Moscow, and we believe that our future success in Russia will be on digital media, internet, mobile, and social, with video, audio, and text content. We also decided that our Russian service director should be resident in Moscow, at the epicenter of the news on which we report and where the great majority of the folks in our Russian service reside and work. Also, about a year ago, shortly after we started this planning process, we learned that the Russian mass media law would be amended to prohibit foreign ownership of broadcast signals. This law is very similar, as Governor Linton pointed out, is very similar to the law we have here in the United States and to those of many Western countries. The new law will go into effect next month on November 10th. Since learning of the impending change in the law, we consulted several law firms to explore if we could continue to hold our broadcast license to own and operate our AM radio station in Moscow. We also explored a deal with a Russian businessman with media holdings aimed at keeping our AM programming on the air. Unfortunately, there was no deal to be struck. In August, we were advised by our longtime Moscow counsel that there was no alternative to compliance with the new law. We do not, however, view this as a calamity. To the contrary, we see this as an opportunity to improve and strengthen our Russian service and to accelerate our plans to move to digital platforms. Truth be told, in the world in which we live today, AM radio is a bygone era. The internet, mobile, and social media are not only the future, they are very much the present. If we are to succeed in reaching those young, urban, educated Russians who are at the forefront of change in their country and who will lead Russia in the future, it will not be on a weak AM signal that can only be heard in parts of Moscow. It will be on digital media, where our target audience already lives, works, and plays. Sadly, the cessation of our AM signal and the switch to a digital service requires new ways of working with fewer people and some people with different skill sets. We thank and honor the work of those who have left us. Nevertheless, we owe it to our mission and to the American taxpayers who fund us to employ our funds in the most efficient and impactful way that we can, and that is exactly what we are doing. Some of our critics claim, quite incorrectly, that we are withdrawing or retrenching in Russia. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are adapting to change conditions with a new strategy and new focus. We are not decreasing the amount of money we are spending on Radio Svoboda, not by one penny.
That was Stephen Korn, the president of Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty. Now, he just said there that AM radio is of a bygone era, and they were planning to switch the content to digital platforms like the internet and mobile phones. But as we were preparing this story, it led me to one question. What about the gatekeeper effect? We have seen in countries like China, Cuba, Iran, Vietnam, and others that the internet is censored and can be turned off at one moment's notice. We did try to contact the BBG to reply to this question and others, but there was no one available. We did ask for a written reply to the same questions, but again, no one was available. If this story develops any more, we will bring you the latest. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
Call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399 and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.
And by the way, if you do call the PCJ answer line, your message may be used on any one of our programs. Now, I want to take a moment to tell you about some upcoming editions of Media Network Plus. Well, one upcoming edition of Media Network Plus. It's going to be a two-part special that we're going to be focusing on broadcasting during the Second World War. There seems to be a lot of interest from many of you wanting to hear more about what broadcasting was like during that time. And we're going to be focusing on a particular angle. The angle is going to be what the Allies were doing after the end of the Second World War. Now, let's take a listen to this little clip, which is quite fascinating. It's from May 5th, 1945, and I think it's self-explanatory.
This is Germany calling, for the last time from Station Hamburg. And tonight, you will not hear Views on the News by William Joyce. For Mr. Joyce, Lord Haw-Haw to most of us in Britain, has been most unfortunately interrupted in his broadcasting career, and at present has left rather hurriedly, for a vacation, an extremely short vacation, if the Second British Army has anything to do with it, maybe to Denmark, another point north. And in his place, this is the BBC, calling all the long-suffering listeners in Britain, who for 6 years have had to put up with the acid tones of Mr. Joyce speaking over the same wavelength that I'm using to talk to you now. I'm seated in front of Lord Haw-Haw's own microphone, or rather, the microphone he used in the last 3 weeks of his somewhat checkered career. And after tonight's great news of the surrender of the German forces, I wonder what Lord Haw-Haw's views on the news are now. For Hamburg, the city he made notorious, is this evening under the control of the British forces, and we found a completely and utterly bomb-ruined city. We thought Bremen was bad, but Hamburg is devastating. Whole quarters have just disintegrated under air attack. There are miles upon miles of blackened walls and utterly burnt-out streets. And in the ruins, there are still nearly 1 million people and 50,000 foreign workers living in the cellars and the air raid shelters. Today, you don't see a single civilian on the streets. As soon as we came in, we imposed a 48-hour curfew. And there's a Sunday quiet over the whole city. All that stirs In the streets is a British jeep or an armored car or a patrol of British Tommies watching that the curfew is strictly enforced. The docks are even more devastated than the town. The great shipyards of Bloom and Voss are a wilderness of tangled girders. And in the middle of this chaos, 14 unfinished U-boats still stand rusting on the slipways. Work on them finally stopped 2 months ago. After that date, Hamburg was a dead city. Rummaging through Lord Haw-Haw's desk, we found a revealing timetable he drew up for his work for April the 10th, 1945. And at the end of it is the glorious item, 1450 to 1510 hours, a pause to collect my wits. Well, he and the citizens of Hamburg have now got plenty of time to collect their wits. For tonight, the sturdy soldiers of the Devons, the famous Desert Rats, are on guard over Haw-Haw's studios. The Allied military authorities are now running his program. And instead of Germany calling, the colonel in charge gives you now the new call sign of Station Hamburg.
This is Radio Hamburg, a station of the Allied military government. Hier spricht Hamburg, ein Sender der alliierten Militärregierung.
And from Hamburg, we take you back to London.
And we will have more of that on an upcoming edition of Media Network Plus. Now we turn to propagation. Here's Dan Hensley.
The 10.7-centimeter flux starts out at 135 this week, dropping down to 130, remaining stable at 130 from October 21st to October 26th. The A index starts out at 5, staying stable at 5 all week long from October 20th to October 26th. The KP index is 2, remaining stable at 2 from October 20th to October 26th. On October 12th, there was a storm on Jupiter, a radio storm. Amateur radio astronomer Thomas Ashcraft recorded the event using a shortwave radio telescope located in New Mexico. See spaceweather.com for more details. Sunspot 1586 is passing out of view. Sunspots 1589, 90, 91, 93, and 94 are in view. Sunspot 1589 is decaying and no longer poses a threat for M-class solar flares. No large coronal holes have been observed this week. There will be an opportunity for radio amateurs to work some meteor scatter soon. This weekend, Earth will pass through a stream of debris from Halley's Comet, source of the annual Orionid meteor shower. Forecasters expect 25 meteors per hour when the shower peaks on October 21st. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan. Anyway, we are now out of time. If you wish to contact us, our email address is very simple, mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to all past editions by going to our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. So on behalf of Dan Hensley and Paulette Macquarie, this is Keith Parent wishing you well. We'll see you again in 7 days' time. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.